God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Oh, good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Going to be digging into For the Wages of Sin is Death tonight. And this is Do Not Keep Silent. You know, as we get started tonight, wanted to share with you, since we're right around Holy Week here, John 12, we see Jesus entering into Jerusalem with his triumphal entry. John 12:12 is where we'll start tonight. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a colt's donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that what had been done, these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him." So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Again, that's found in John 12:12-19 tonight, as we get started, the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. With all that in mind, friends, again, during this time around Holy Week here, getting us started, also wanted to take a look at Romans 6:23, which states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Friends, tonight, we'll take a look at the first half of this verse. The wages of sin is death. I'll dig into the free gift of God later on, but getting us started tonight, let's take a look at this beginning. Friends, later again, we'll continue to dig into his death, his burial, and resurrection. We need to understand why he came to begin with. Now, without going into too much detail here, as the Lord wills, I hope to go through much more of this later, but bear with me here tonight. Please walk through the truth of God's word with me. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why is there a gospel story? Friends, I'm guessing a lot of us already know what the gospel means. That word, it means good news. But friends, good news from what? Good news from what? Well, the good news of Jesus Christ, friends, is that he has defeated death. Death is not good. For in fact, we know this because of Romans 8:28. God works all things together for the good and for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, friends, Jesus needed to defeat death. So I hope we can agree that death is not good. The free gift of God, again, is eternal life, and it's good. Now, friends, hopefully you hear that the gospel of Jesus Christ directly hinges on the fact that when humankind sinned against him and we turned our back on him, he had already prepared the way back to him. Friends, he already had the plan set in place before time even began. He knew we were going to sin go against him, rebel. He already knew all of that would happen. We see in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. Again, good news. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of them who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Friends, before I continue on here, did you hear that? Paul says, but if it is preached that the dead should say that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? He goes on to say this, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. By the way, that word means worthless. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And friends, this is where, for me, it gets interesting and helps us to see that Adam and Eve are historical figures. Yes, the account in Genesis regarding the creation story is true. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Why is this important? Well, friends, in Genesis 3, we have the first mention of death. God had warned Adam and Eve that if they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would die. And in fact, God himself warned Adam before Eve was made, and he said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is just one reason I believe that Eve had told the serpent, well, we're not even supposed to touch it. Because I believe Adam is the one that relayed that to her. God told Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, when you tell a child not to do something, sometimes you let them know, hey, you know what? Don't go into the kitchen right now. The stove is really hot, so don't go into the kitchen. In fact, you know, don't even touch the stove right now. I think that was the way it was with Adam relaying this to Eve. You know, you shouldn't be doing eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what? In fact, don't even touch it. Don't even tempt yourself to do that. They both chose to eat from that tree, though. For Eve was tricked. For Adam, however, friends, my friend Charlie Wolcott writes, it was outright rebellion. And I believe that. Outright rebellion against God and his commands. We need to understand what sin really is. It's not a mistake. It's not a misjudgment. Sin is not an error. Sin is outright disobedience. Sin is rebellion. In fact, it is very serious. As C.S. Lewis lets us know in the Chronicles of Narnia, it's treachery. God made it clear that the due payment for such deeds is death. And friends, Adam and Eve, though, they didn't die on that day. So I, myself, others with Worldview Warriors, we'll have people make claims that, did God lie? You know, he didn't carry out what he said he was going to do on that day, so was he not telling the truth? Is he not powerful enough to do that? Well, I want to encourage you to be very careful, friends, because that's quite a serious charge against God himself, that he's violating his character. And friends, again, I appreciate my friend Charlie Wolcott pointing this out. There's part of Genesis 3 that is missed a lot. Something did die that day. It was an animal. God provided clothing for Adam and Eve. He used the skin of an animal. Let's be honest, that skin had to come from somewhere. Scripture tells us that God provided clothing for Adam and Eve. So at least for me, I think it's a good assumption that God, or at very least an angel, had to kill the animal to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. This is the very first picture of the gospel in the Bible. Before I move on, many people have said, well, God could have just provided it. He could have just made a skin. Well, yes, that's true, but that would be a miracle, creating, if you will, something out of nothing. So I think it's a very good assumption something died that day to, well, supply that skin. In order for man to survive the just penalty for sin, someone had to die in their place. Friends, animals cannot complete the picture because man is not an animal. We are made in the image of God. It took a man to fulfill this picture. Who was that man? It's Jesus Christ. You see, friends, this is why we celebrate and remember Holy Week. Adam and Eve's sin brought death into the world. Both were evicted from the Garden of Eden, particularly the access to the Tree of Life. And friends, I want to give you an idea to think about and a concept of why it was so important that they no longer eat from the Tree of Life. Because it's actually a blessing. It's mercy by Almighty God. Friends, if they would have eaten of the tree of the Tree of Life in their sinful state, friends, just consider this. They would have lived forever. Not just that, they would have lived forever in that sinful state. They would have lived in that sinful state eternally separated from God and eternally cursed. No longer living in perfection. The only way to escape that curse is through death. I do encourage you to ponder that incredible truth of God Almighty right now. Just marinate in that thought. Ask God to begin to truly reveal to you what he did for us. Why can't there be any other way? Well, friends, even Jesus himself made the claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's the only way. And friends, when we get right down to it, even Jesus himself asked if there could be any other way when he was in the garden of Gethsemane praying before he was crucified. Can there be any other way? Eastern cultures think of bonding agreements in terms of covenants. Friends, it's different than our Western thinking regarding contracts. Friends, because God is eternal, he makes everlasting covenants that last from generation to generation. And we can boil down the covenants to two simple statements. Obedience leads to life. Disobedience leads to death. Friends, God is pure and holy and just. He is not a dictator. I believe if we all truly think about it, the reality is our problem is that we do not take sin seriously enough. Friends, I can share with you that I know I don't take it seriously enough. I'll try to put it a better way. Certainly not as seriously as I should consider it. Now, friends, please don't get me wrong or hear what I'm not saying or even implying. Let's just be honest with ourselves about how often we go and do what we want to do that God is not directing us to do. Consider that. Friends, I think a lot of us, sadly, a lot of us think something like this. God will forgive me anyway because his love and grace is greater than my sin. Is it true that God's grace exceeds our sin? Well, yes, but that does not give us a right to continue in it. That is nothing more than looking for a license to keep on sinning. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Sin is rebellion against God. We must not forget that. Many of us think of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, of course, breaking one of those is breaking the whole law. Friends, those are a big summary of the whole law. Enough that God had Moses place them in the Ark of the Covenant. But sin can be simplified even more than just breaking one of those Ten Commandments. Friends, through my own study of the Bible and being taught by some men that are much better than me, who are incredibly godly, what I have come to realize and have learned is that the definition of sin is a very simple definition, which is this. I want to do things my way. Proverbs talks about this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And the main theme of the book of Judges, it's this. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. Every time humans try to do their own thing, it never ends well in the long run. The slippery slope, friends, is very real. Sure, it might seem fine for a time, but going against God's ways will eat away at you. We look for fixes to our problems, and while those fixes can mask them, it never makes them go away. And that fix becomes less and less effective. So we try to find something even stronger. It is a continual downward spiral. It's a spiral towards death and destruction. And sadly, friends, we followers of Jesus Christ can see it on full display in society more than ever now in our lifetimes. I have discussed this with many people who are older than me, and many of them agree that sin is on display now more than ever in our lifetime. In fact, I've not only posted a blog post about this, but also have done a video regarding the God complex. I was told by many, even well-meaning Christians, oh, Jason, you're just making that up in your head. You're crazy. You know, well, not really. Sin has been on display in the past, absolutely. But many people today not only flaunt their sin, but now they want to accept it. And even worse, where the God complex comes in, is now people want to force others to accept it as well, like never before in our lifetimes. Friends, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. It's not just that. It actually goes even deeper. Romans 1 makes it clear that there are often times that sinful lifestyles are not merely a direct choice, but a judgment from earlier choices. If we reject God's ways long enough, He will give us the desires of our heart to live without His guidance. If we refuse to listen to God's guidance, He has no obligation to protect us. Friends, He will hand us over to the way we want to live. I think if we're honest enough with ourselves, we all know the culture we have today is a result of the sins of the generation before us. However, this generation that we're in now is doing even worse sins than the generation before us. We are living in judgment, and in reality, it is only a matter of time before God's cup of wrath for America is filled. Again, the slippery slope is real and is on full display for us to see. In fact, it's why I believe, you've heard my phrase, the way forward is back. We have got to get back to biblical principles and fundamental beliefs in our nation, in our states, locally, and in our own homes. As I wrap up tonight for this half hour, are you taking sin seriously enough? It at least seems to me that it's obvious that our nation is not. Again, many are flaunting their sin, boast about their own immorality, and many now are even shaking their fists at God, daring Him to bring the final judgment. What really is a head scratcher for me with that is the same people that are doing this, they whine and complain about how God wiped out civilizations with a flood, with the conquest of Canaan, killed people on the spot for their sin. They're now daring God to do the same to them. My friends, God will not be mocked. But hope is not lost. While the wages of sin is death, God holds His wrath back as long as He can, because He does not want to see us perish. In fact, He truly loves us. He offered us a way to escape the ultimate judgment. And friends, God willing, I plan to share about that next week. So, please, this week, continue to seek out the Lord, think and pray and be thankful for what the Lord has done for each one of us. And friends, now if we'll just receive the truth, I encourage you, receive the truth. Again, we see in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Mentioning the book of Judges, I want to just let you know about a resource we have available online at our website, worldviewwarriors.org. God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges. So appreciate Katie Erickson sharing her thoughts about this. What is that? Well, you ever feel like your life is a cycle, turning away from God, messing up, pleading with God for your rescue, and then turning back to Him? Friends, God's chosen people went through the same thing. I encourage you to learn more about that in God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges, written by Katie Erickson. You can find this at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. I'll see you next time. Don't be a pushover. And you go out and make today great.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.